Now, back to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM.
I'm Candace Newton, and this is Unlocking Secrets for Women here on CFUN, 1410 AM. We're having a conversation with Judy Tadji Wilson. When we left the break, Judy was talking to us about the tremendous grief that she was experiencing over the loss of her children, and she was talking about how long of a process it took her, crying into her pillow and just having that incredible empty loss, that she was not able to have that same bond and contact, not bond, but contact with her children that she'd had before. And one of the points that you had made, Judy, which I think is fabulous, and I agree with you, regardless of where your children are, there's something born into them that they have that longing and desire for mommy that no one can interfere with. Yeah. I mean, and you know, that's proven when you look at the faithfulness and the loyalty of children that are abused. You know, they don't want anything to happen to their mom or dad, and even though mommy and daddy may be the ones that are hurting them.
Right.
And so there is that powerful bond that's there.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, it's interesting that you put it in that context, because it's true that as long as you can deal with the whatever the source of the pain is, whether it's internal or external, then the bond is, you know, left intact.
And
It's a very scary thing when you're a parent to be away from your kids and to not know. I think, too, most mothers feel very guilty when they're away from their kids for an hour.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And I know that as MLA, I mean, I was dealing with that all the time. I'd always try and plan my meetings and activities for times when the kids were sleeping or if they had daycare or whatever. So I'd minimize it as much as possible. But you still feel guilty. You feel guilty all the time. You feel guilty if you're away for a day or 2 days. And when I went through the custody battle, what is still to this day very hurtful are the people who I had gone out of my way to be really kind to and made that little extra effort for, who had been talked into lining up to just absolutely slander me.
Mm.
And you think, now, why would you do that? And do they ever, I often wonder, you know, do they ever stop and think, geez, you know, that was really rotten?
And really, were they really thinking about the kids? Because if they understood their need for that bond with their own mother, why would they interfere with such a precious relationship between mother and child? And really, they had obviously no facts. They didn't understand a thing about what was really going on.
Well, let me give you an example of someone who actually understood completely and was clearly not thinking of the kids. My ex-husband's sister was married to a fellow, a businessman. And, you know, they lived, there was a sort of a farm area, so everybody kind of lived within a couple of houses of each other. And pretty much, you know, at least once or twice a month, we would host them for a chicken dinner. And I cook a lot. I love cooking.
Me too.
I'd make a big family dinner. Everybody would come over, and they would always go on, oh, we love your chicken dinner. Oh, you make the best roast chicken. Okay? Especially John. John loved my cooking. And I, you know, he's not the sort of person that I would normally get along with because we have different perspectives on things, but he was always welcome. He ate everything from my stews, my curries, my chicken, whatever. John took the stand and said, and he swore this, I could not cook, and that my children frequently went hungry because I couldn't cook.
Oh, dear.
And he swore an oath to that effect. And because he was a prominent businessman, it had weight with the judge. And yet it was a flat-out lie. And he knew that not only were my kids not going hungry, but to take them away from me when I could cook, and that I always cooked, I made them homemade baby food, for goodness sake, with organic apples. And, you know, to go to the other extent, it'd be one thing, like, when you make a choice about what you're going to say about someone, you can say nothing. You can provide limited information. If you, let's say, for example, he thought, no, I really, I'm against her. He could provide limited information, but to provide false information, and, you know, as it turns out, he's the person who then ran against me for MLA, and he won. You know, so he had his other motives. So I stop sometimes, and I think, does he ever, please, I want to know that he sometimes thinks how sad it is that my kids grew up without my cooking, you know, and he was one of the people who contributed to that. And you almost wonder if when, at the end of life, when we're all sitting around in the ether sphere and we're talking about things we did, if they say, you know, that was really not very good because there were three tiny little children whose lives were at stake there, and it went in a different direction, and I contributed to that.
Wow. Yeah, you do wonder. And you know, I was going to tell you, Judy, that with divorce, in the divorce situations with women in general, most people don't really understand the backstory. In, even in everyday life. I know for me, in my situation with my family, for all intents and purposes, my, you know, my ex-husband's not a bad guy. He actually works together with me.
Yeah.
But he, you know, we did not, we should never have been married in the first place. And, you know, we've sorted through all that and we've figured all that out. But it's as if it becomes a family divorce. It's as if they're compelled to take sides. They feel like they must take sides. And it happens, I mean, in within my own family. And I love my siblings very much, but I've had those that have sat in judgment of me. And I know the day that they would ever have to experience it, they'd see the world differently. And I even, I really have to confess that some of my idealism when I was younger too, because I really hated divorce. I didn't want to be divorced. And, you know, my parents had been divorced and I thought, oh, I was never going to do that. So I came into my sort of dysfunctional adult life, which is better now. But I came into that with, I think so. Well, that's my opinion.
Yeah, right.
But I came into it with the perspective of that I had ideals. And really, a lot of us are driven by our own motives and our own ideals. And we're sometimes so driven by the passion that we have that we are blind to see the hurt that we can produce in others. And I know I've been guilty of that too. I have passions, and especially my youthful idealism, which at 46 hasn't left me, thank God. But but in some ways, I still, and I see that I've hurt people through those idealisms and those passions. And, you know, you can't go around apologizing to everybody. But I think even on a greater impact for yours, it was just so incredibly public. And it affected it so deeply. And probably a lot of us wouldn't have had such power people testifying against us in such a powerfully impacted way that would have made such a difference.
It was quite devastating because, I mean, for anyone, it's devastating even on a personal level. Because you're right. People do, they'll line up on sides. I was very lucky. My family lined up behind me, and that was really good. But, you know, it can be very upsetting just to have the family. Like, for example, there's my former mother-in-law, you know, what on earth is she saying? And that can be hurtful. But when you have someone who is in line to become the next judge, somebody you've known socially, who takes a stand and says, she's so negligent, her son almost drowned, and I saved his life, which is like, you know, come on.
I mean, you know what? Every mother in the world has had incidences where, you know, their child has been, you know, right under their direct supervision, and kids are just like faster than the speed of light.
Right.
And they can do things so quickly. And God forbid that any one of us should ever be judged on those blatant circumstances without all the facts.
Well, the thing that was ironic in this case is I was the one standing there saying, oh, could you girls grab him? Because he had wandered like 6 inches past his, and I was standing right there. But I was a little bit alarmed. So I was, oh, could you grab him? Could you grab him? And he heard me and he jumped into the water fully clothed and grabbed Cass. So what was I going to say? I'm like, oh, Barry, I'm so grateful, because he jumped in with his clothes on. He completely overreacted. And out of kindness, I didn't say, look at you, what an idiot you are. The girls are right there in the water with him. I was just asking them to grab him.
Yeah.
You know? And so you don't want to be mean, so you say something like that. Later, he's like, I was the hero. I saved his life. It's like, oh, man.
Well, you know? It's always usually, I guess we see the world through our own perspectives and our own sort of our own way of looking at things. We see it from our piece of the pie.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know, I want to make a comment before we go on break again. I just want to tell you that when I was watching Oprah years ago, because I watched that show. I watched you on there.
Right.
And I can remember thinking back then, geez, what about all these Hollywood actresses that spend 3-4 months on the road, their kids are flying to see their mommy, and they're on the set for hours and hours and hours at a time. Why are their custody issues not an issue?
Right.
And I just felt like even back then, it was such an incredible double standard. And it annoyed me back then. It annoys me now because, you know, really, daddies are away. daddies are gone for long periods of time. And I know my daughters love their dad and they want their daddy around, and they get annoyed when dad's not around. But it
Everybody said at the time that Pierre Trudeau, who was Prime Minister of Canada, got custody of his 3 sons, and nobody blinked an eye. You know, Prime Minister has to be fairly demanding.
Exactly.
You know,
what do you think? Okay, so coming up after the break, we're going to continue our discussion with Judy Tabji Wilson. That's Unlocking Secrets for Women here on CFUN 1410 AM.
You're listening to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN 1410 AM.